सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावदीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let's chant Keno Upanishad, part 2, mantra 1 to 5. Yadi manyase suvedete dabrame vapi nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvatanumimamsyamevate manye viditam. Yadi manyase suvedete dabrame vapi nunam tvam veta ब्रह्मणो रूपम् यदस्य त्वं यदस्य देवेश्वतनुमीमांस्यमेवते मन्ये विदितम् नाहं मन्ये सुवेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यो नस्तद्वेद तद्वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च नाहं मन्ये सुवेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यो नस्तद्वेद वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च यस्य मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेदतः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातम अविजानतां यस्य मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेदतः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातम अविजानतां प्रतिबोधविदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते मृतम् प्रतिबोधविदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते मृतम् इह चेदवेति दत सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहावेति महति विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्मालोकादमृता भवन्ति इह चेदवेति दत सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहा वेदी महति विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्मालोकादमृता भवन्ति।
Sorry, Guruji, where are we now?
We are in part 2. We have done up to... Oh, can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. I don't know why we've got something else here.
Yeah.
Part 2. So which are the shlokas in part 2?
I think part 2 we have to do mantra 5.
Mantra 5, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think, Sadhana, your screen has come. I think you have the screen sharing permission, I think. You got to close it.
Yeah, I think she has it.
Something else. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Siddhi Vinayak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sadhana Bhabhi, you have to just shut your screen sharing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, the first part in Keno Upanishad. We have completed and we have done up to mantra 4 of second part in Keno Upanishad. The Keno Upanishad straight away starts with Shishya's question. He just wanted to know if the pure consciousness is part of the matter or the product of the matter combination or is it something apart. So that clearly shows how much reflection the Shishya has done. And the Guru starts answering that, strictly speaking, that pure consciousness is Svatantra. It is apart. It is independent. It is Satya. Everything is Mithya. Everything else depends on that pure consciousness. As it is, they don't have any independent capacity to exist. All their Shakti is borrowed from that pure consciousness. And he said, whatever you people are worshipping here, that is not the truth. The real truth is that. That's all. It is not something that can be reached through the sense organs, nor through the mind, nor through the intellect. It is something beyond all your equipments. You need to cross over all your equipments and realize the self. All this he said in part 1. Then in part 2, he cautions the student. If you think you know it well, if you think you have understood that Brahman, that pure consciousness, you do not know. The truth perhaps has to be ascertained by you even now. Then the Shishya confirms that no, I know it well. But I also understand why you say, if I know, I have to be careful. Maybe I don't know why you are saying it. Because I may understand it as something objective. I understood that it is not objective, it is subjective, and I have realized it subjectively. And then he says, those of us who know, they know. Those of us who don't know, they also know. In the sense, truth is something that is existing in every being. They are just not aware of it. So that concept was mentioned. And then we came to mantra 4 of part 2. This is a very interesting and important mantra. It says, prati bodha viditam matam amrutatvam hi vindate atmana vindate divyam vidyaya vindate pratam. So here the guru says, indeed one attains immortality by awaring the consciousness through every experience. Pratibodha means every experience or every thought. So the consciousness is not something that can be grasped by thought. But the consciousness can be subjectively realized by analyzing each and every thought. By observing each and every thought. Because for a thought to be there, for an experience to be there, the pure consciousness has to be there. In every movie that you see in the theater, you have to have the projector projecting it. What happens to us is, when we watch a movie, we get lost in the story. Isn't it? People go and watch Titanic, and a fellow does a huge sacrifice. All of us are in tears, crying, and then when the song comes, everybody is in some other world. All that happens. But you forgot that there is a projector which is making everything possible. Right? So, you cannot know the truth through the thought, but thought is helpful if you are aware of the thought. Thought is something objective. So each and every thought, when you start scrutinizing, each and every experience when you scrutinize, you can achieve the Atma. So the problem is, the moment thought comes, the moment experience comes, we get lost in that. But not to get lost, you need some strength. Hana. It's very easy to get lost. But very rare is a person who doesn't get lost. That's not easy. So, that kind of a mind you need if you want to know the truth. Because the Maya Shakti is not easy. It's very, very powerful. It is all very easy to talk. But the moment you are exposed to the object of your likes, that's it. You forget everything. Forget about all that. Jo, I am experiencing now, let me enjoy. Right. So, even I'm just saying it in a very light-hearted way to explain the concept. Nothing to talk about what we were discussing. Just before the class also, we were saying Hari Om to everyone, and then Madhuji said, Sheta, you have very nice clay stuff there, you know. So, when we see the video, obviously we see the background. I'm sitting there, nothing you can see. Wearing white clothes, white background, it's a very boring fellow. Hair also is white. All that is white in color. Very boring. But you know, you see there, lots of different things are there. Even when screen came up in between, when sadhanas, that screen came up, he said, it's nice, you know. So the moment something comes, what happens? Our attention gets drawn away. It's normal. But to not get drawn away by that, and shift the attention to what is making you to experience that attention, you need strength. That is not easy. You understand? Intellectually, to understand the Upanishad itself, we need some strength. Little bit, thoda sa somersault karna padta hai.
Could you please repeat that? I didn't get it.
Which one?
You could explain the last sentence, which is that to experience something.
No. Now you saw, when we switched on the videos, all of us, you saw the screen of Shweta and the background, she has got some pots that she has made, right? So you said, oh wow, beautiful pots. Then she said, I've been using this time very effectively and all that. We were discussing, right? And similarly, when Sadhana's screen got projected, you said, yeah, beautiful Ganeshji, you know, that Bombay, what is that? The Siddhi Vinayak, all that. So, what I am saying from that, I am just using that as an example to convey what Upanishad is trying to say. So, it's normal and natural for us when we see something or think about something, get drawn by that and our attention flows away. Right? But to not pay our attention to what we see, shift our attention to what makes us see.
Oh,
it's strength. That's not easy. That is the real strength. This strength that we have in the world is a different kind of a strength. All those strengths are useless. Useless in the sense, a relative. That is going to be discussed in the next part 3 and part 4 when the story comes. You know, somebody has a strength of material wealth. Somebody has strength of physical health. Somebody has a strength of contacts. You know, I'm a YPO, I'm a WPO, I'm a YEO, I am this, I am that, I am this member, that member. So I have contacts, strength of contacts. Then you have strength of knowledge. Well read man, that guy is very well read. He quotes Upanishads like this and that. You know, so that strength, all these strengths will be discussed in the next portion as a story and proven to us. Mithya, this is not Satya. It's all relative. What is that real strength that is needed? What is that? When this perception, emotion, thoughts are happening, not to get lost in them. That's called Atmana Vindate Viryam. That's called the strength over the mind. You understand? That fellow alone can win this knowledge, what Upanishad is. Intellectually we can understand, but even to intellectually understand, we go through somersault. Isn't it? Upanishad is not like Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is all, that doesn't mean Bhagavad Gita is useless. Bhagavad Gita is also superb. We have studied that by God's grace. But Bhagavad Gita dilutes quite a bit. Upanishad doesn't dilute. Especially Keno Upanishad, my God, it's not that level. So the thing is, the perception is there constantly. See, the moment the thoughts come, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin is open, you experience the world. So you got to find that Brahman in this world, not leave this world and go somewhere. Where will you go? Wherever you go, you understand? That is also world only. Up to Rishikesh, all these Mahatmas went. Now, many people followed and went to Rishikesh, and now Ananda's wife is also there in Rishikesh. And then now what to do? The fellows have to go up little more. Badrinath, Kedarnath. Now they are putting broad roads there also. Then people will reach there very easily. Where to go? Maybe go and sit in Everest only somewhere. Then there also we'll go in helicopter. I don't know how we'll go. So the point is, wherever you go, the world, you got to find the truth in this world. The Upanishad doesn't tell you to leave this world and go. You cannot find truth leaving this world. You got to find it here. right? So, when we are experiencing, in every experience, pratibodha viditam means in each and every experience, in each and every thought, you can find that consciousness. But for that, atmana vindate vidyam. Atmana, atma here means the self, the little self, the mind. You need that viryam, the shakti, which comes through control of the mind. You understand? What happens is, the mind has likes and dislikes. Mind is full of likes and dislikes. So the mind wants this, mind wants that, and then impulsively we go, we buy that, we experience that. So we are draining our shakti. Those who have the capacity not to drain it, conserve it, and direct it towards the higher. That's called tapas. Tapas means the conservation of energy. First aspect of tapas is you conserve the energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. The second aspect of tapas is the conserved energy has to be directed towards the higher. So, that is called Atmana Vindate Vidya. When you conquer the mind, you get that shakti. That shakti is there. Otherwise, you cannot. It's not possible. Before you realize it's gone, your thoughts are gone, you're gone. It's very difficult to... So, Atmana Vindate Vidyam. Then such a person, Vidyaya, with Vidya Shakti, such a person who's got the control over the mind, that Vairagya Shakti and Shakti that comes out of the tapas, he is able to gain the vidya. Vidya means knowledge, means see the truth as it is. Right? That is the vidya. Vidyaya vindate vidam. He, through knowledge, attains immortality. So, through knowledge, he attains immortality. Means the clarity comes. What is the clarity? I've been thinking that I am this small self, this little body, mind, intellect complex. Therefore, I was viewing this world and I was thinking that I am in this world. But the moment I controlled my mind and quieted myself, I see the truth the other way around. What? The world is in me. This is the complexity of the whole thing. Thing is, I've always said this many times, so I'm repeating it once again. It appears to the layman that the sun is revolving on the earth. It appears to the layman that the earth is flat. It appears to the layman that light is coming from the moon. But when you scrutinize and probe, you have understood that light is not coming from the moon, earth is not flat, and sun is not revolving on the earth, it is the earth that is revolving on the sun. Ulta, amara understanding ulta tha, abhi thoda soch ke amara understanding sahi ho gaya. This is the reference to the external world. Now here what the Upanishad is talking about is internal. How we have understood? How we understood is, we are someone who came from mother's womb. We are born in this world. We are in this world. This is Maya. Isn't it? But when we gain the calmness, the mind's thoughts, waves are not there. The mind, thought, waves are there. You are so agitated. You cannot really think. But when the mind, thought, waves subside, then you will be able to see that clarity, that knowledge will come. What the Shastra said is correct. What is that? You are not born in the world. The whole world is in you. In the sense, it's all due to the thought. And those thoughts are enlivened by you. You meaning the pure consciousness. So, vityaya vindate mritam. And that you or that I is neither born nor dies. When the thought is born or when the thought dies. So, the experience is born or when the experience dies. That I is always there. The moment you gain that, you become free. Till then, you will not become free. Then you say, my company is EBITDA, all this problem is there. Or then that taxation is too much here. Or the problem from my siblings, or my parents, or my children, or my this, or my that, my bodily problems. All these problems is what we keep thinking, but the more, then we will not be able to see the truth. Therefore, this verse says, first conquer your mind. Atmana vindate vidyam. So what you have to do? You have to conquer the mind. So what do you have to do? You have to start living with your intellect's conviction, not on the mind's force or dictation. So strengthen your intellect and control the mind and live. Keep your mind controlled and calm. Not live as demanded by your senses. Then slowly, slowly, the shastras will be understood correctly. Otherwise, you will be mechanically repeating the shastra. You would have not understood a word. Nothing will happen to your life. Nothing will happen. Therefore, he says, Atmana vindate viryam, vidyaya vindate mrtam. That's why we say, finally, just the knowledge. What is that? You are not this body, not this mind, not this intellect, but you are the Atma. But that knowledge to happen, mind has to quieten. But we will not keep our mind quietened. The mind is so vigorously running today, and therefore we also need too many experiences for the mind. Then we also pamper the mind by giving that so that it will be quiet. See, when your mind is tremendously weak, you need so many paraphernalia to keep it quiet. When your mind is strong, you don't need anything. Really speaking, if you see who is strong, if you analyze, the birds are strong. The flowers are strong. The flowers, they don't need any support. They're hanging there. They can be, crushed by some human beings passing by. Or the heat can burn them. Heat from the sun. Or a powerful wind can throw away. Or the rain can finish them off. But they expose themselves absolute vulnerability, as it were. On what strength are they relying? So, that kind of a strength, will be there when your mind is calm. Mind is disturbed, you need so many paraphernalia to keep it quiet. So, that's what is happening to most of us now. So, that mind, when it becomes quiet, in the quiet mind, suddenly the truth will reveal. Yaar, sab kuch mera dunya pura ulta tha. Abhi, I understood. And everything will become sahi ho jayega. Jo topsy-turvy tha will become proper. Clear understand. Unnecessarily, Swamiji keeps saying, during his tapasya time, he was in Chinna Mission. He says, there was a guy from US or somewhere. He had come on a world tour. He had gone to many countries and he also came to India and he came to Mumbai. And then he came to Ashram. Chinnananda's Ashram. Swami Chinnananda is in Hawaii, in Mumbai. So he came there. He liked the whole thing and he stayed there for 3 days. And then he said, I'm not going anymore on any more world tours. He's not seen 2 countries. I said, no, I'm stopping here. He says, I'm seeing the entire world here. There's no need for me to go anywhere. Meaning, he understood what is there in this thing and not seeing so many places. You go to Dubai, you go to America, everywhere you go. And mostly, the same thing in different permutation combination. That's all. Like in Delhi, few malls. You go to this mall or that mall, just same thing, different permutation combination. The one shop is here, the other competitor fellow will be there. Something like that is same thing only. Same atta, if you put it this way it is dosa, the other way it is uttapam. This is the same thing, again and again. Because the mind is so weak, we need all these paraphernalia. So, he understands. Then the thoughts, everything quietens. So, for the Upanishadic knowledge of the Gita knowledge to reveal the truth from within, we need to go and do tapas. Not go on studying, just merely studying. What will happen? You would put more and more information on your head. That will only burden you more. Or rather, you may get some kind of a pride, garvam, that you know more words. But what you don't understand is those words are empty and it has no pitta substance. So therefore, it says, Atmana vindate virya. First conquer your mind. Anything and everything the mind demands immediately you give. And mind can ask anything. There is no rhyme or reason. It is just a question of time. I'm telling you, people will start thinking of buying some property in Mars. There's a question of time. Space travel and everything is started. Right? So, there's already probably some people are thinking how to buy this. So, this is not going to end. That's why he says, if you really want to know, you don't want to know, that's a different matter. But if you really want to know, if you really want to put a full stop to this samsara, then this is the method. Yeah. Knowledge will make you realize that mortality, but for that, mind should be conquered. First sit in one place. It's not easy. It's a very big, tough thing. Can't sit. Very difficult. You know, I think today whosoever is attending the class, I don't think so anybody or any one of you have been to our ashram. Now, when we studied between 92 and 95 when I studied, there was nothing in that village. There was only one shop, a fellow Khandelwal, one shop hardly has anything and nothing else was there. Nothing means nothing. Now if you go, I think one small supermarket also is there. Everything is there, nearby to our ashram. And it's like 60 kilometers away from Pune, so 1 hour by train or by drive. And then Bombay is like 2 hours, 108 kilometers. And all these, some of the students of our Delhi center, those who attend my classes there, some of them, like every year, I take a group and go to the ashram. They come, 2-3 days they're there. After that, they all have planned and suddenly they are gone during the karma test. There. They have taken a cab and gone to Lonavur. Kiki, Alek. And then they go to Pune. Some people, they plan like this. They come through Pune. Then they go from Bombay. So in Bombay they can do something. I am not saying it's wrong or right. Nobody is criticizing anybody here. But that is how the mind is. It cannot sit in one place. And if the mind is going on moving and it cannot sit in one place, truth cannot be revealed. That's all the point is. The truth has to be revealed, the mind has to be conquered. Otherwise it's not possible. That's what he says. Then in the next mantra, which is again a very important off-quoted mantra, he talks about the greatness of this human embodiment. Mahima. Don't waste it. The gurus always, they say, it is very difficult to get this human embodiment, man. You have got it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it in frivolous things. That's what the whole concept is. So let us chant mantra 5. Iha cheda veti data satyamasti. Iha cheda veti data satyamasti. Na chedi ha vedi mahati vinashtihi. Nachediha vedin mahati vinashtihi. Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. Pretyasma loka dhamrta bhavanti. Pretyasma loka dhamrta bhavanti. Iha cheda vedin data satyamasti. Nasedihavedi Mahati Vinashtihi Bhuteshu Bhuteshu Vichitya Dhiraha Pretyasma Loka Dhamrita Bhavanti Iha Che Avedi Dat Ata Satyam Asti. If that truth is known here, here means in the present, in the now, in the world, in this body, then Atha Satyam Asti. Then is the truth established. Satyam Asti. If you have known the truth in this world, here, in the present moment, in this body, then you have lived a life of satyam. Na chediha veti means, if not known here, mahati vinashtihi. Nashtihi means loss. Vinashti means great loss. Mahati vinasti means greatest loss. Supreme most great loss, you can say. Mahati vinasti. They are explaining that it's a very, very big gift you have got from the totality, having been born as a human being. Don't throw it away. Compared to the animals, human being has the shakti to know thyself. Animals, even when they come in front of the mirror, they think that, you know, the reflection is some other dog. There's a dog there. It sees and then it understands another dog. It's the one. I think it's Panchatantra story only. There was a lion, the king of jungle, and he used to go and hunt and eat all the animals. So all the animals got together and appealed to the lion one day, said, see, we will take turns and one by one we will come to you on a particular time every day to eat that particular animal. Unnecessarily, why you are disturbing? I said, lion said, okay. So it was going on. One by one, animals took turn and they go and they die. The lion will kill and eat. Then one particular day, it was the turn of the fox or jackal. Goes there, very cunning. So he said, today is my turn, sir. Come. So you can start eating me. That's okay. But I just want to tell you something. What? I thought you are the only lion in this forest and you are the king of this, but I saw one more lion. So I was worried about you. What? You saw one more lion? Where? You come with me, I'll show you. So the lion goes. And there's a huge well. So he says, go and stand on this, you will see. And then the lion jumps on it and sees. The lion sees own reflection. But the lion obviously doesn't understand that way. So, it jumps into the well and the lion dies. That's how the story goes. We have read this when we were really small, so I was thinking of it. So, what we understand is, that story gives some other meaning. But I want to tell you this, that the animals don't have the capacity to understand themselves. The self-awareness. That ability is high in human beings. Ability. But most of us, we don't know about ourselves. So, don't throw it away. That's what he's saying. He has said, avedi, that ata satyam asti. Then you have lived life of satyam. And you have lived life of satyam means what? There is a meaning in what you have lived for. Otherwise, it's a meaningless, purposeless waste of time. You know, some truth in your life, not some, everything. Otherwise, it's a total waste. That's what he's saying here. Then, so this first line, he says, if you have not known it, you have not understood about yourself, even after getting this human body, that means you wasted it like anything. You have wasted this human body. It's very interesting, you know. See, this human body has these five senses. So with these five senses, we experience a certain world. Hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, a different world. And there are certain sadhanas through which you can awaken the chakras. And when you awaken certain chakras, you get different experiences. That is also not Brahman. Brahman is even beyond that. But when certain chakras are awakened, you get different experience. So those people who have learned those techniques, they can go through that also. But the problem is, with all these things, the possibility of you getting lost is even more. That's what happens. Once a person, you know, in Calcutta, if you go, I mean, most of you, I think, are originally from Calcutta, so you'll know that. In Calcutta, the Hubli River is there. The other side of Hubli River, there is Ramakrishna Mission, and this side is that Dakshineshwar Temple. So, Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's ashram, some people go in the boat. One fellow, apparently, during those days, who has learnt this art of walking on water, was demonstrating. So all these people are fascinated. He could walk on water. Tremendous crowd he was pulling, and you know. And this, everybody who came to Ramakrishna Mission reported it to Swami Ramakrishna. This guy who is walking on water, amazing, amazing. Like, they thought he is some god who is descended on earth. Swami Ramakrishna didn't bother about all this. He was carrying. So one day one person said, no, you must also come, and he took him there. And then he went there. This guy thought that Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa will also be impressed. All that Swamiji asked him was, Rayar, how many years did it take for you to practice this and master this? He said, 25 years. So 25 years you mastered this, 25 years of effort you mastered just to walk on water? He said, yes. He said, for me it just takes 25 paisa. I don't know how much it is now. Those days maybe 25 paisa. I just gave 25 paisa to this fellow. It takes me from Dakshineshwar to the other side. So what you can achieve in 25 paisa, you achieved wasting 25 years. What nonsense is this? In the sense, these are also experiences which are fleeting. These are not experience, or these are not the truth. So you wasted your life of a human birth. Therefore, he says, Iha Chet Aveti Data Satyam Asti. Then there is some Satyam in your life. Then there is some meaning, essence. There is some prayojanam. There is some, you know, purpose, satisfaction. Because you fully utilize. Fully. Yachet aveti ata satyam asti. Nachediha veti mahati vinashti. Supremost great loss. Because God knows what our prarabdha next is, and what kind of birth will be born again, God only knows. Therefore, now that you have gotten this body, don't throw it away. Don't waste it. And here again, there is very interesting thing that the Guru is trying to say. To know the truth means what? What the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin are revealing to you is fact. They are facts. But what they cannot reveal to you is the truth. So most of our life is lost in the facts. Most of our life goes in facts. But truth is hidden. Don't throw it away. Don't waste it. Because only when you achieve the truth, there will be absolute freedom and independence in your life. And only a person who has the freedom is living life. Slaves, can you imagine slavish life? What kind of a life that would be? If you are in house arrest, in your Prithviraj Road house, what will you do? Prithviraj Road or any other chota place, doesn't matter, yeah. What is this? You are putting me in house arrest? I need movement. I need freedom. That's the main thing. So, if you have not known the truth, if you are just meandering in the facts, you will know deep within that insecurity is there. What kind of a life is that? In Tamil, Mahakavi Bharati says, Anji Anji Chavar, our Anjada Purulillai Avaniile. Means what? You keep getting frightened, insecure about everything. There's nothing in this world that you are not insecure about. Everything frightens you. Keeping money in hand frightens you. Spending that frightens you. What to do? Should I keep it or should I spend it? Don't know. Because if I spend it, will I get it? I don't know. If I keep it, I may die. People may kill me to take it away. So what knows what to do now? So I don't know. So that insecurity will be filled in your life if you have not attained this truth. Because once you attain the truth, once that understanding which I talked about, the Rulta thing, only then the dependence on the world will go. Only then you are living your life. Otherwise it's a waste of time. The more and more we become independent, we are actually living. The more and more dependent we are, it's a torture, isn't it? You say, my God, man, what is this? For everything I need to do this and that. It's a torture. So that's what he's saying. It's a mahatiri nashti. Even after being born as a human being, you can't lead a life free from the dictates of your senses, mind and the surroundings and all this, what kind of a life are you leading? A total madness. That's what he's saying. Mahatiri nashti. Nashti means loss. Vinashti means great loss. Mahatiri means supreme, most greatest loss. It's so difficult to conceive how much you lost. That's what he's saying. You have not understood the value of this human body. So if you play about with your senses, there is some kind of a pleasure you can get. And if you start playing about with your chakras, you will get some other kind of pleasure. Some other kind of experiences. That's why Isavasya Upanishad says, you know, those who are lost in the world are in darkness. Those who have lost in spirituality, they are in blinding darkness. Get involved in all these chakras, vikras and all, it's even worse. Because that's a different kind of experience and people get lost in them. So, you think only this is the thing. No. Beyond all this is lying that truth. So all these pleasures and joy that comes out of these senses are only a poor, poor shadow and reflection of that original bliss. And without knowing that, you waste your time and effort in many other things. It's a total nonsense. In fact, it is better you work for it and you may not get it. It's still worth it, your life, rather than working for this worldly stuff and getting it. That's what the poem Grammarian's Funeral says. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man with great things to pursue dies ere he knows it. That low man goes on adding one to one, his 100 soon hit. This high man aims at a million and misses a unit. You know. So, the whole idea is pursue the truth. Have fun. You have fun, but never ever forget pursuing the truth. So that's what this whole verse is talking about. If that is known here, in this world, in this body, while you are alive, then the truth is established. If not known here, it is the greatest loss. How do you have to know the truth? What he said before, he is saying it again. Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. Dhiraha means wise fellow. Very rare to get the doubt. Just that kind of a doubt if we get, but the wise fellow gets, our problems in most of the places, most of the issues will be sorted out. For example, if you analyze your own problems, most of the times what you do, you go to Swamis or you go to the psychologist or somebody or the other, he will talk. Yeah, that fellow is bad. This fellow is bad. There is now, it may be fact that fellow is not alright. Or that fellow maybe is okay, but the way I am perceiving him may be wrong. But we never get that doubt. Never get the doubt that maybe there is something wrong in my perception. Why should it be that only that fellow is wrong? Maybe he is alright. She is alright. Maybe the way I perceive, there is some coloring is there in me, maybe. I don't know. So, that doubt, once it comes, then what we do? We go inside and see, there is kuch problem hai kya? That's what that poem is saying, no? Turkey in the end poem. In the end he says, as you remark another sin with their own conscience and look at it, control their more voracious will, nor for a breakfast nation skip. Turkey was killing nation of ants for breakfast and complaining about human beings killing one turkey once in a year and eight fellows share it during Christmas. It's saying human fellows are suffering from gluttony. They are very cruel and all that. So the poet is saying, what you are doing? You are killing millions of ants for one breakfast and you are complaining about human beings who are killing one turkey once in a year, and that also eight fellows they eat. Seven or eight fellows they eat. So, the moment, that is what it is, that vice. Vice means a whole perception is pulled up. That he realizes. So that person, he says, bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhira. In different beings, in different experiences, in every element, there is that one consciousness that he sees. That's why he is wise. That's difficult. He sees the satyam. He sees the truth that pervades everything and he sees everything else as falsitude that is depending on it. That's why he is a wise one. So the satya and mitya is understood correctly. So having reflected through every element, bhuteshu bhuteshu, which is here, dhiraha. Dhiraha means wise fellow. He says, I am not going to go merely by what my eyes show me, or ears hear, or tongue convey to me, or skin conveys to me, or nose conveys to me, I am not going to go by that. I will probe. So he withstands and probes, and even through all these experiences, he has grasped that one underlying factor, that is pure consciousness. That's why he's called Dhira, wise person. What is commonly known, if you see that or hear that, what's the big difference? What it's not revealing, but he draws it out, then he's a wise person. So, Newton discovered law of gravity. It's there, yet it's not seen by everybody. Because of the gravity we are sitting, otherwise we'll all be floating. So, yet that is not dawned on everybody. So, he says, having reflected through every element, every being, every experience, the wise have known that. And what? Pretya asmat loka. So once the wise fellow knows, then what happens? Then thereafter he has no samsara. Why we create samsara? See, now, I tell you, this is something which happened before coming to Delhi. I was in Middle East for a few years. So there, most of these fellows, they work hard and they earn. Sometimes they live there alone. Wife and children, they're studying in India. So they are living there all alone, and once in a year they come and meet. It's a tough life they've lived. They've earned well for the family. They've sacrificed. But for that, how much they've sacrificed? A lot. So they, with all these difficulties, they earn and save the money. And then in between, all kinds of stories. This one fellows, they come there and say that, you know, if you plantation scheme, you buy teak plantation from us, one tree costs 5,000 grams, something. And you buy that and it will become this much and you will get that much money. And they have lost so many money like that. So much money like that. In spite of it, they have saved a lot. Hard-earned money. Now when the fellow retires and goes back, he is not able to sit properly. Sit properly means sit quietly. He thinks I'll go and start on pizza show. What is that? Pizza outlet. Or even some McDonald's, something he'll think. All his money will go in that. He doesn't have any business vasanas. He is not a businessman. But he thinks that money is not secure. In spite of attending Vedanta and all that. So he'll say, shall I go and start pizza outlet? Like that, one fellow came to me, one of our class members. Came and said, sir, I'm going to now retire in a few months. I have few lands that I bought. I've got some portion of it constructed. It's on the main road itself. So I'm thinking of starting on pizza. And I know him very well. He doesn't know ABCD of business. He'll be finished. I don't know how many lakhs it is, but he will lose it. What is your problem? He is studying in Vedanta, Swadharma and all that. Why you don't you stick to that? Why you want to do it? You don't know business, man. I'm not trying to say that you should not do business, but you don't know business. You are not a business guy. Then luckily he understood and he said, yeah, thank you very much. I'm not starting. So what I'm trying to say is, when we do not have the wisdom, we create some stuff. You will start one pizza hut and then you will, something else will come up. And then that is, you will create such a big samsara. You don't realize it. Why all this happening? Because the clarity is not. But the wise fellow absolutely knows something. Why am I starting all these samsaras? Plan A fails, plan B fails, plan C. Sab kuch arrange karke rakhenge. Why? Because I am today thinking, I am this body-mind complex, and this body-mind complex is something that is subject to death. So, for that arrangement karke rakhenge. It is not wrong, but that's all you are doing. So, all arrangements are there. Plan A, Plan B, Plan C. But all our life is consumed in protecting this that is unprotectable. All our life is consumed. Everything is consumed. Just protecting this perishable stuff. So, a wise person says, yeah, this is a total waste of time. And because of the protection thing, we'll create samsara. This one, that one, that one. And, you know, if I expect some favor from you, then you will also expect favor from me. So, we have to, you know, keep catering to each other. So, samsara, I'll start. What samsara? I want people to come to my house function. So I will go and attend so many else's house function. Everywhere I'll be roaming around. Thailand, America, China and all these things keep on going around. Create more and more samsara. So he says, the wise fellow has no such samsara. He once has understood that all this is ulta. I am not born in this world. The world is in me. I am creating this samsara. Once he understands, why would he start any samsara? Why will he unnecessarily start another samsara? Even in our own field, suddenly people call and then say, sir, we are interested in studying Vedanta. Why don't we start one new class? Hey, Baba, unnecessary. You know, it has actually happened. See, even in our own class here today, just today itself if you see, not everybody is coming to the class. They have their own reason. I am not saying, first of all, everybody should come or not come. Their individual wish. But I have to come, no? Once I commit for a class, I have to be there. I mean, if I am busy one day, I can always say, let's not have it this week. But once there is a commitment, I am committed for it. And once we start a text, Maryada is to complete it properly. So, there are certain texts like this, Keno Upanishad is small, but Bhagavad Gita and all, 701 verses are there. Simply some people will say, sir, we want to come, please start. And then we start. And after 6 months, 1 year, the fellow gets busy and two fellows get busy and they leave. I am stuck with that class for my rest of my life. So, I tell them, listen, Baba, please, you come to the other classes, you study, we will see. You know, it's not worth it. Once you have that thing, why would you get into samsara? To explain that, I'm giving this example. So this wise fellow, he understands this ulta thing has happened. That's why I created all this samsara. I am thinking that I am this small little self, the body-mind complex. That's why I have created this much samsara. Oh, big protection I can give, I'll think. That much big protection I'll give. And I think that will save me. Utter foolishness. See, that story of Hiranyakashipu is explaining to us very well. Hiranyakashipu, what kind of boon he asked from Lord? He said, I cannot be killed. I should not be killed during the day or night. I should not be killed inside or outside. I should not be killed by an animal or a human. Like that, he put all the conditions and he got the boon. And then he thought he is somebody who cannot be killed. He is Amrita. He started doing all kinds of nonsense. And Bhagavan had to come in Lord Narasimha's form to kill that fellow. That's what the story says. Because then when he killed him, he was Lord Narasimha is neither a man nor an animal. And Lord Narasimha killed him neither in the morning nor in the evening, twilight time. Not inside nor outside. So he took him to the threshold. Not up or down. So kept him on his thighs. So you can't kill him with weapons. So he tore him open with nails. All this story is telling us is this ego, this false identity. You try to protect it as much as possible. You go on pampering it and protect it as much as possible. It is something that is perishable. It is something that is perishable. It has a shelf life. All your life is going in that kitchen. So, that the wise fellow understood. And thereafter, he just expresses the prarabdha karma. And because the momentum which pulled him, pushed him into this world, that is continuing. As long as it continues, he exists. He never gets into any samsara. Mental. It's all mental. So he rises, having risen from this world. So, asmat loka. So, these verses are interpreted differently in different places. One of the important interpretation is, once the person, wise person, sees the same pure consciousness pervading all different beings, then his samsara ends and he just expresses his prarabdha. But when prarabdha is also exhausted, then what happens? The body is given up. Once the body is given up, goes and gets established in that permanently. So the wise, having risen from this body, also is another important understanding in this word asmat loka. Asmat loka is interpreted as this body also. Having become freed from this body. From this body means what? The concept of birth and death. This body is something that is born. With that, this concept of birth and death comes. There is no birth, no death, nothing. All tamasha happening. Once that is understood, the wise risen from this world, from this body, become immortal. They become immortal. Amrita bhavanti. Amrita means death. Amrita means beyond death. Moksha jati. So, the four human goals that is generally discussed is artha, kama, dharma, moksha. Majority of us, our life goes in artha and kama. Material wealth and pleasures. That's all. Our whole life goes in that. Yesterday, I had gone for dinner with somebody. So when we were talking here in Chennai, he was telling, because of this corona, my whole travel plans went haywire. And same thing happened to me also. So we were just talking about it. But now when I'm talking on this verse, I'm reminded of that. Why? Because, corona spoiled all my things. Otherwise, I would have at least traveled 10,000 kilometers. Meaning, he was supposed to go to US and Singapore and Malaysia, China, Sri Lanka and all that. The businessman here. So, he is thinking, 10,000 kilometers, you know, I would have traveled this and that. It's gone waste. So, here, Upanishad is saying something else. Upanishad is saying, you are wasting your time in just going around this 10,000 kilometers and this and that. Because you do all this. That is not what is going to really give you that fulfillment in life. That fulfillment is only and only knowing the truth. Nothing else. So having reflected through every element, bhuteshu, bhuteshu, every being, even through the, all different beings, it's the same pure consciousness that is pervading. Once I see the pure consciousness and everything is hinging on the pure consciousness, and I understand that the pure consciousness is the independent entity upon which all these are dependent. So all that are dependent are what? Not the truth. That which is independent alone is the truth. Mm-hmm. Then why do I depend on these things? I will not depend on it. And when I don't depend on it, then what? I will be sporting. Isn't it? I'll be playing. I won't be sporting. Just the sport that I'm involved in. So then what happens is the life turns into a sport. Leela. Like Krishna's Leela. Life will turn into a sport. But today life is not a sport for us. Forget life is not a sport. Even sport is not taken sportively. In sport only people get involved and all those sorts of things happen. What about life? That is a serious business. So, the wise risen from this world become immortal. Become Amrita. Amrita means no birth, no death. Understood that I am not somebody who is born, somebody who is going to die. That is the job of the body. It is born, it dies. I have nothing to do with this body. So this, the wise person has understood. And he has become free, risen above. So he attains moksha. For him, moksha is the goal. Artha kama is not there. Majority, 90% artha kama, their life is spent. And about 9% or maybe 9.9% in dharma. And only 0.1% maybe is thinking about moksha. In that 1.1%, 1.1 maybe a person fellow realizes the truth. That's how it is. So he says, therefore, bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya divaha. The truth has to be revealed from the beings and experiences. So we need to sit down and start contemplating on our experiences and thoughts and draw the truth out. Once we draw the truth out, we get the strength to be independent. That independence alone makes our life meaningful. If that independence is lost, our life has no meaning whatsoever. Absolutely no meaning in whatsoever. See, some people go on tours. So they take them to this Europe tours and all that. So they come back and tell me about it. So I know. It takes you lakhs and then they take you. Within the 20 days, I don't know how many days it is. Just go to some 10, 20 countries. They come back, they feel as if they have not seen much. Hurry, 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 here, there, there. You know. Same thing. Now if you see, we have lived 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Do we feel that satisfaction? Do we feel that fulfillment? The Guru is very confidently saying, you wasted your time if you have not known the truth, because what gives you that grip, that hold, is that source, and that source is this knowledge. Because that really shows the thing. Today it's all ulta, man. That will make it proper. Once that is done, then it's firm. Then you don't get into insecurity thereafter. So it is risen above this world. Having risen from this world, the person becomes immortal. World means another name for the world is change, because this is constantly changing. And that world in which everything keeps changing, he or she becomes changeless, meaning all these changes can do no affectation to that person. Realize this. Therefore, in this particular verse, the mahima of human embodiment, the glory of human embodiment is discussed. Don't throw it away. Very difficult, after so many difficulty, so much difficulty you've gotten this, don't waste it. Let's conclude now. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Budhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti samarpayam. Hari Om. See you all next week. Hari Om.
Thank you.